Continuing on, verse 6 then. Right after he heals this man, again, instead of them rejoicing and being happy about this, they're angry. And notice what it says. And the Pharisees went out, and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians, Herod's people, against him as how they might destroy him. Herod's group was different than the Pharisees. Remember, the Pharisees kept a lot of ritual and ceremony, and they pretended to be holy, but inwardly they weren't, but outwardly they were. You know, they fasted twice a week. They made sure everybody saw everything they did, you know. Herod's people were more like worldly people. They were mixed Jews. They partied. They got along good with the Gentiles. They didn't like the Pharisees. They thought they were too religious. The Pharisees looked at them almost as Samaritans. Remember, during Jesus' time, it was Pilate couldn't stand Herod. Herod couldn't stand Pilate. Herod couldn't stand the high priest. The high priest, you know, they had these factions. But they were so willing to go and side with their enemy if we can get him. We got to both try to get him. They knew that Herod had already killed John the Baptist, so maybe they were thinking maybe he can help us out here, you know, since, you know, we're having a difficult time. And remember, ultimately, what did they get Jesus on? When he claimed to be the Son of God, and they accused him of breaking the Sabbath. These were basically the two things they went after, you know. So they didn't have nothing. And actually, on both of these issues, they were spiritually deceived and wrong. But they told themselves, and they lied to themselves and told themselves this, you know. And even Peter says, had they known he was the Lord of glory, even the high priest would not have gone as far. But their sinful heart, God blinded them because of their wickedness. See, Isaiah says, go and harden them. He's speaking of Jesus. That's why he taught in parables. And Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hid these things from the wise, these lawyers and scribes. You've kept it from them. But you've revealed it to the babes, the simple, and those who are listening. Remember, he says, the prostitutes and the tax collectors will get in the kingdom before you will. See? He never used again the harsh words, snake, vipers, hypocrites, whitewashed sepulchers, false teachers. He never used that term toward the normal sinner. You don't find one scripture where he ever did this. He confronted them with their sin, and if they acknowledged it, he forgave them. But he dealt with what needed to be done. But he anger and his contempt, he was showing God's anger and contempt toward the hypocrite. And God has not changed in this. Okay? So they went out, again, looking for a way to destroy him, even if it meant we have to side with our enemies. We got to get this man. So it shows you their murderous heart, and they were inspired by the devil. Well, how else they could not be? They've come against the Messiah. They come against the prophet of the Lord. What is the consequence of this? You open yourself up to demonic activity. They thought the people Jesus was casting devils out with the demonic, they were in worse state. They're going to get to the state where they will blaspheme the Holy Spirit and they'll never be forgiven. Many of the people that Jesus cast devils out were saved and came to the Lord. Mary was one of them, you know. But these people, you're going to ultimately see, they're not going to. God is going to see to it. And that's the horror when we see his attitude that they will not be forgiven. So, see, that's his strong attitude he's using toward them. So Jesus withdraws. We'll back up a minute. I want to go to Luke, because again, he healed a man on the Sabbath, but there's another case we want to see. This was a major with them, and this is why Jesus actually picked healing on the Sabbath. He went out of his way to do this. It wasn't like he laid low on the Sabbath. See, he knew their system, and he knew where they could be provoked, but when it came to the Word of God, he had no problem provoking them. Over minor matters, he told his other disciples, leave him alone. The blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. But he was going at times to challenge them for God's sake, to reveal their wicked heart and reveal that he was fulfilling the will and the purpose of God as the Messiah. Luke 14, verse 1 through 6. And it happened that he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, and they were watching him closely. They haven't changed, have they? They invited him. Why did they invite him? Because they liked him? No, they thought they could set him up. See, they were sneaky. You know, but Jesus was wise to this. He could have said no. No. But he knew time and place. And they watched him closely, again looking for a reason to get him. And there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy or a disease. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees. See, they claimed to know the law. So he asked them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? He point blank. They've already had problems with him, so he comes right to the question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He's already said previously it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, you know. So he challenges them, if you know the law and you know the spirit of the law, what is your answer? See, he knows what they're trying to do. And they kept silent. See, they had no answer. He had already answered them occasionally. They didn't know what point, you know, to go after. They didn't know what scripture. See, they were smart enough as lawyers to know they couldn't blatantly think up something. You know, they had to have a text or something to use, and they had no example. But in their mind, they didn't believe it. See, they believe you could do nothing on the Sabbath like that. See, again? But again, it's because they were coming after him is the reason. And notice what he says here. They kept silent, and he took hold of him, the man, the sick man, and healed him and sent him away. And now he answers them, knowing the hypocrisy of their hearts. And he said to them, which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? He says what? You Pharisees that are straining at gnats now, if your son or daughter, if your valuable ox or donkey fell over a ditch on the Sabbath, would you just sit and leave him alone until the Sabbath was over? You'd be the first one out there calling your neighbors, help me get him out. You would say, that's lawful. You know? And he would actually have implied, and it would be, you know, the spirit of the law, that would be good. And they could make no reply for this, because they knew he had trapped them in their own game. Because they knew if they had to be honest, what would they have said? Yes, we would have. And would you have broken the law to do it? And you know what they would have said? They would have either said no, or they would have said, well, the law is not that important. My son and my ox is. Because remember, the Pharisees were very covetous. The money was a big thing with them, and their family, you know, line. So again, he trapped them either way. See, again, he knew they couldn't answer him. Remember, they played the same thing with him. They'd try to get him, you know, and yet he would not fall for it. Remember before he trapped them. He says, was John the Baptist from God or wasn't he? And they said, instead of answering him directly, they got over on the side and said, well, if he says this, you know, if we say as John was a prophet, then he's going to say, well, why didn't you listen to him? You know, and repent and get baptized. But if we say he wasn't, we know all these people around us believe he was, and they may throw stones at us. So they said, well, we don't know. See, they contemplated the answer and the consequence instead of what? What is the truth? They were not looking for truth, and God never gives the truth to those who resist and despise it and don't come to the light. He says, those will not come to the light, lest their sins and deeds be revealed. That proved that they were already in a terribly hardened state. Some of these people that Jesus is talking with are already past repentance. Not all of them, but some of them have already entered that state. Okay? See, when he traps them and he reveals their blaspheming the Holy Spirit later, that's just one point that Jesus issued. When they sought to kill him and they sought to plot against him, and some of them knew that he was a prophet of the Lord and did this, they, according to Scripture, had already blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and there was no forgiveness for them. It's just the Scripture doesn't reveal every statement that Jesus said and did to people. But when he does reveal it, he lets us see how and under what conditions he used those terms. Okay? So again, he understood. You know, the same as when they tried to trap him with the woman caught in adultery. See, again, they wanted to play this game. You know, the law says she should be stoned. And they were waiting for Jesus to trap him either way. If Jesus says, yes, stone her, then he's going to look bad among the people. See, at this time, it wasn't common practice to stone adulteress. And again, Rome could only put people to death. And they didn't put people to death for adultery, basically. And they put them to death for stealing and murder and other things. But this was not common. But they were trapping Jesus again, trying to get him into this kind of... And Jesus answered them. Remember, he said he wrote on the ground, and no one ever knows what he wrote. We have our theories. My theory is what he wrote was, where's the man? The law says the man and the woman caught in adultery ought to be put to death. Now, how can you put one to death without the other one? Where's the adultery? You don't have a case. So, see, Jesus may have written on the ground, where's the man? Then I'll tell you what the law says. But see, there was no man. You know? Some believe that Jesus stooped down and wrote out their sins. Because he said again, later he said, what? You that it was without sin, then let him cast the first stone. Even the self-righteous Pharisee, not one of them was going to walk forward and say, I'm without sin. Because he knew what the law said. That's the very reason he was offering sacrifices, because we do sin and fail. And not even the high priest would have dared to walk up and said, well, give me a stone. None of them would have done that. See, he trapped them at their own game, and they didn't know what to do. Okay? So again, this is the kind of people he's dealing with. Hypocrites, false religious people. Religion's important. Ceremony's important. But inwardly he said, what? You're a dead man's bone. Your father is the devil. It's not my father who you call. You say your father is Abraham. Jesus says your father is the devil. And you're a murderer like he is, and you're going to do the deeds of your father. So see, again, he knew them. He knew. And the Father's wisdom was in him as the Father dwelt in him. And they could not. He was given wisdom they could not resist. I mean, what that means is they could not answer it properly according to the law. They could refuse to hear it. And they could plot to kill him later, but it meant they could not answer this kind of wisdom that came from God, no more than they could do Paul or Stephen. So we see again, he brings this up to them. He doesn't avoid this, because this was an important issue for them to understand. And again, they did not believe what he was saying. Does that surprise us? Okay, verse 7. Jesus withdrew to the sea with his disciples. This is the Sea of Galilee. And a great multitude from Galilee followed, and also from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and the vicinity of Tyre and Sidon. A great number of people heard of all that he was doing and came to him. What was he doing? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he was casting out devils and healing some sick. This is what he was doing. And the word got out. And he told his disciples that a boat should stand ready for him because of the crowd, so they would not crush him or crowd him. There were so many people coming out of the towns, and he was backed up to the water. There was no place to go. And him already foreseeing, having examples of this happening, he said, have the boat ready, you know, so we can get on the boat. I remember on other occasions he got on the boat and he taught them from sitting on the boat so they would not interfere. See, what was happening was, in their desperation, people were coming. But see, he did not come just to heal and cast out devils. He mainly came to proclaim the gospel. And these people, many times, they were just interested in their healing and a miracle. They were just interested in bread. And he said, that's not the sole reason I've come to offer you something better. The healing and the miracles were confirmation of his ministry and who he was. But everybody's going to die. And everybody's going to get sick and die. Or their heart's going to stop, whether they're healthy or not, because the time span, and that's it. But he was more interested in their spiritual life, that they could live eternally and never die. So again, his main purpose was to proclaim the gospel, and he confirmed it with signs and wonders to prove who he was and to fulfill Scripture. But again, many people would have tried to overwhelm all they were interested in, again, like the leper coming into the synagogue. All he was interested in is what he wanted. He had no consideration for the law. He had no consideration for other people. And he had no consideration for the Lord, even after he was healed. And a lot of people are like that. They come to God for the bread. They come to God for the blessing. They come to God for what they can get, and they still live their wicked life, and they don't repent and change. And they're going to receive a greater judgment for this. Okay? And he healed many, with the result that all who had afflictions pressed around him in order to touch him. It appears at this time that most of the people that were being healed were those who touched him. And maybe this is why later on in the Father's wisdom he spoke and he did things, but basically it was the touch. And he sensed this power leave him. Remember, the woman who had been crippled and bound, when she touched him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, she was straightened up. And so they knew that the power of God and that the healing virtue came forth from him. This again was God establishing who he was and letting them know where it came from. That's why he used the terminology when he cast out devils. Remember he said, if I do it with the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. And later we're going to see when he does appoint. Remember, at this time he has not sent any disciple or apostle to do any signs, wonders, healings, or anything. The focus must be on who? On Jesus. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. When they have been taught properly and established, then he sends them, and they go in his name and the name of the Father. So when they go, they use his name. We're going to see to cast out devils and heal. Given the what? Glory and honor back to where it came from. It was the Father doing the works in the servant, the Son of Man. He said, all that he sees, he says, I do. And it's the Father in me that does the work. So he's seeing God healing and doing these things, and God forgiving sin through Jesus Christ. Remember again, that disturbed them, that he had the power, for the Father dwelt with him. Okay? And whenever the unclean spirits saw him, that they would fall down before him and shout, you are the Son of God. And he earnestly warned them not to tell who he was. Again, he did not take testimony from demons. He understood that this would be just mental information, would not change a person's heart. See, people just don't get it today. That they just mentally believe Scripture, that changes them. It does not. That's why many people mentally believe that Jesus is the Son of God, died on the cross for their sins, and rose again, and they're on their way to hell. And many people say, Lord, Lord, and they're on their way to hell, and they believe Jesus is Lord. They have no question he's Lord, no more than the demons do. But Jesus, as he told Peter, you know, my Father in heaven, he reveals this. He's the only one who gives spiritual life and spiritual understanding. So again, many people believe who Jesus is. But it's not the belief that God requires. People in hell know who Jesus is. It doesn't save them. Every demon and devil knows who Jesus is. It doesn't save them. And a multitude of professing Christians believe he's the Son of God and died on the cross and raised again, and they're on their way to hell. And he's not their Lord because they do not submit to his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does not deal in their lives. They're deceived, as well as these Pharisees were, who claimed Jehovah is their God and Abraham is their father, and Jesus says, your father's the devil. So he did not need the testimony of demons. They do not contribute to his ministry. And in every case they shout out this, that say, you're the Holy One of God, you're the Son of God, you're the Holy One of Israel, he'd tell them immediately. Remember, they're speaking through the person that he's casting the devil out. And he forbids them. He commands them to say no more, and they don't say no more. They say this not as mainly to testify of who he is. They're terrorized in his presence. Remember, they recognize the finger of God. They recognize who's standing in front of them. And they still don't know, these demons, whether he can individually cast them into hell on the spot if he chooses. They know who he is. They know the God of heaven can do this. You know, that times and seasons are in his business. And at this point, they may not know enough to know what he will or will not do with them. He can confine them into darkness. Like Revelation says, there are certain high demons that God has confined and that he'll let out during the tribulation period. That evidently he does not allow them to roam the earth now. They're too powerful. So it's implied maybe these demons that are being cast out, they're terrorized that he's going to send them to a place like that where they'll have no freedom and they'll be in total darkness and peacelessness and restlessness, and they cannot manifest their evil through people. So see, again, they are scared. And maybe they're trying to flatter him, thinking that they're, you know, they'll try anything. They're scared. They're terrorized. And they scream. Remember, they scream when they come out. It's the spirit screaming, basically, through them. They don't want to come out. Evidently, for them to come out of a possessed being, animal, it torments them. They are more comfortable having an abode, a person, to. And so it says they go about in restless places, seeking rest, and they find none. So they're already in a state of torment. But it seems to ease them if they can manifest their corrupt natures through humans or through animals. So again, I believe they're in utter terror and torment, and yet they know there's a day of torment coming, and they're afraid that this is Jehovah now, the Father dwelling in him, and he could say to you, it's your time to go. And they know who he is, you know. So this is probably why. But he did not seek their testimony, nor does he want it. And again, we talked about, they were saying it before Peter said, we know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said what? He didn't say, oh, you learned that from a demon. No, he didn't. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this, and I implied no demon did either. He said, only my Father in heaven. See, only God gives spiritual illumination. That's why most professing Christians are not Christians. That's why most people who are backslidden and indifferent and once knew the Lord don't know they're on their way to hell, because they're still saying, Lord, Lord. Yet the Holy Spirit is not bearing witness. And they're believing a lie and will be damned. And they will be standing before Jesus, many, when they say this. And he will say, you are cursed of my Father into everlasting torment. And these are people who say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he is the Lord. So it shows you, mental assent is just the beginning. There must be a spiritual acting on the Word, or the Word produces nothing. God's Holy Spirit must give the increase. Knowledge of God's Word alone cannot do it. The Spirit has to act on His Word for any spiritual thing to happen. Okay. And he went up. And he went up on the mountain and summons those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him, and he could send them out to preach. It's implied at this time he has many disciples. He may have had 50, 60, 70 again. Remember, he called many. But he's going to select from this group. The other gospel says that he prayed all during the night and then came down and chose the 12. He prayed and got wisdom, and the Father told him, which of these 50, 60, or 70 disciples, I want 12 of them. It did not mean, many people have a misunderstanding. They think, say there were 100 of them following in and out. Remember, they went back and forth. They weren't with him 24 hours a day. We can understand because as we study his life for 3.5 years, women came back and forth and ministered and brought food. There was intercourse of people and bringing and feeding. Many of these people had husbands and families, and their mothers would come and give them things to help them. They recognized, as they would a prophet, what they would do. When prophets on the Old Covenant went to cities, they brought them gifts and food and wine, and they knew that's how they were, it was required of them. They knew they must be supported. So again, this was the same that would happen, as the priests and the religious people being supported through their tithes and offerings. This is how much of it happened. Scripture says the women ministered to them. So Jesus wasn't performing miracles every day to feed his disciples. A lot of times he depended on the providence of God and allowed God to move and do as he saw fit. Remember at times he sent them, they went into the city to buy food when he was talking to the woman at the well. Well, why didn't he make food? He could have, because God didn't do that every day. See, again, people have this false understanding. I don't believe he picked these 12 because they were any more special than the rest of them. Some of the other disciples may have been better. But God chooses himself for certain ministries who he pleases. And greater accountability comes with it. But there are some disciples. And there were women out there who may have had a deeper walk with God in the life they had than any of these men did. But they weren't allowed to do this. They weren't called to be apostles and prophets in this contest. So again, God chooses whom he pleases for his reason. So I tend to believe there were others there that we may have considered more qualified. And God said, well, that might be true, but I have my reasons I want this one. I will make him, and I have certain things I want. So again, we can't say, oh, he picked the cream of the crop. I don't believe that. Because again, we say, well, then why did he pick Judas? Knowing what he would do. We're not told the end of the apostles. Scripture in Revelation says that the 12 apostles will be there around the throne. It didn't say these 12. See, a lot of people don't get that because Judas isn't there. He was replaced. And if any of these apostles that we never heard any about, there's no scripture says they were guaranteed they were saved to the end, no more than Paul believed it. But he said there will be 12. And when they replaced, they called the 11 12. And they replaced him. He was numbered with the 12. It became a symbol of this group. And in the book of Revelation, there's 12 apostles. And somebody got replaced if anybody backslid and didn't stay with the Lord. But we're not told. We know what happened to John. We know what happened to James and Peter. Some of the others we don't hear nothing about anymore. We don't know. And maybe again, they could have been just as spiritual or more so than Peter, but God's ministry was not to have them write scripture. They may have been just as spiritual, many more qualified than Peter and Aaron. But God in his wisdom takes an overall picture of what he does. And he gifts people differently. And that's why it's a judgment seat of Christ. And when he judges, he says, and the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And those we think are highly favored, they made a lot of other people that made it ahead of them. There may be people who are far ahead spiritually than Peter was. There may be people who outdid Paul. We're not told. But see, they may not have been given the great ministry, but they may have been faithful to a greater degree in what they were given. We saw Peter's mistakes on several occasions. There may have been some who didn't make no major mistakes and follow the Lord, and God said, and I'm going to keep him records. And when the day comes, the first shall be last, and the last. And there'll be people who will have a higher standard nobody ever known about. They won't be in the public's eye. But God says, but I know. And he judges everything according to what? He's no respecter of person. How much grace he gives and what the person responds to. That's how. So if a person's given 10 abilities and he's only faithful to 5 and doesn't perfect them, and another person's only given two, and he's faithful to two, that person with the two may get a far greater reward than the one with the five. See, God will measure. And he says everything. See, only he can do this. He knows motive and intent. He knows the person's heart. You know? It's interesting that Mary, again, just simply doing the act of pouring oil on his feet. Jesus said, wherever the gospel's preached, I want you to mention this. Never said this about anybody else. Martha didn't get it. All we remember about Martha is she complained and murmured against Mary. That's what we remember about Martha. You know? And always, if you study Mary, she was always sitting at Jesus' feet listening. And Mary kept finding fault with her. And the people kept finding fault with her. You know? And if she was the other Mary, or wasn't the Mary that anointed Jesus' feet with oil, you know, what did Jesus say? Wherever this gospel is preached, would you tell what? She anointed me for burial. No one else ever did this. She heard from the Father. She heard something that none of the other disciples got. Even they were complaining. And Judas was the spokesman, remember? Why was this wasted? What she poured on Jesus was the equivalent of a year's earnings. And they looked at it, and even the other disciples, remember the scripture says they all murmured and complained, but Judas was the spokesman because he would have got the money. He was a thief. That's why he was more interested. They didn't get it. And what did Jesus say? She knew what she was doing. She got something. She heard something. The same as John the Baptist heard from the Father. The same as Simon in the temple. Said, this is the salvation of the Lord. You know? But they didn't tell. They didn't have to tell. And because she sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his word, she was capable of hearing from the Father. And the Father must have told her, now you go do this. And she may not have fully understood what she was doing. And she got ridiculed for doing it. And yet Jesus said, what? Leave her alone. Because she's done this great thing. She's anointed me for burial. And wherever the gospel's preached, I want you to be sure you tell about what she did. He didn't say, now you be sure to tell how Martha served much. Didn't say that, did he? He said, remember what she did. She'll be a memorial to what she did, the sacrifice that she did, and got ridiculed for it. Again, she was persecuted by the brethren, not by the enemy, for doing something good. And Jesus rebuked them for it. So they didn't understand. Obviously, she got something that they didn't get. Maybe it shocked them. See, sometimes people get things, and people don't expect them to. But see, they don't know what these people do in their private life before God. Their religion is not broadcast in public, and then has no real value in private, like most people's. Theirs is more private, and God sees in secret. And he says, and he rewards that. Okay. So he appointed 12. Got to be a number of divine government. You see it, the 12 tribes, 12 wells. And to have, notice he appointed 12 so they could be with him, and he could send them out to preach, to proclaim the gospel. He is training them further than the others as far as what he's calling them for. The word apostle meant a special sent one, a special messenger. Again, they will lay the foundation of Christianity. That's what they're going to begin to do. And he's preparing them for this even now. And to have authority to cast out demons. No one has done this. He is going to give them authority. No one has ever done this. No one under the law gave anybody authority to do this. A prophet. We have no record of a prophet basically casting out devils. You know, if you can't think of it, tell me, because I don't remember any. But they did some signs and some wonders. You know, and they raised the dead at times. But you know, it's amazing. Again, he's going to give them. He's going to be able to what? Transfer something to them. Moses had to pray and seek the Lord and take the counsel of his father-in-law before the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that rested on him, went to 70 others to help him judge and discern. You know, but he didn't do it. And he didn't even know that. Remember Joshua, two of them that didn't show up started prophesying when the Spirit came on them. And he ran back. He forbid, told them to be quiet. And he come back to Moses and said, you know, they're prophesying. And Moses said, are you jealous for me? So he was his servant. He didn't want no one taking his power from him. He didn't diminish the Spirit that was on Moses. It proceeded, though, from Moses to let them know where it's coming from. He is the channel. You are not to supersede him. Your anointing is under subjection to Moses. Remember, he told Aaron and Miriam, he's not like a normal prophet. I don't speak to him just in dreams and visions. I speak to him face to face. I have a relationship with him that no other prophet has. So he was letting these leaders know, I'm going to let my Spirit come on you. But see, they later on, they did what? They told Moses, we're as good as you are. And the same Spirit rests on us, and God destroyed them. They found out they weren't as good as he was because they rebelled against him. They tried to divide the house. So Jesus is preparing them to give them the power. See, the Father dwells in him. The Holy Spirit on him is going to give it to them. And it's interesting, at this time, they are not baptized with the Holy Spirit for ministry. They're going to do it in his name, and people will know it's because of the name of Jesus and not even something that resides in them, basically. Excuse me. And he appointed the 12, and Simon he gave the name Peter, the rock or stone, and James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, and them he gave the name, this is a good one, Bonagerius, how's that one, which means sons of thunder. I wonder whether they had a temper or they had loud voices. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew, who was Levi, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot. That's interesting, the Zealot. And Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Some translations, again, the tense. They have a hard time. They use the tense sometimes. It means in the present, when sometimes it can mean the past. And therefore, sometime in translation, they'll use an event as they just speak that way. But some translations say who betrayed him or who was going to betray him. Okay. And he came home back to, I guess, Calprenia, this area, and the crowds gathered again, they heard him coming back, to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. Remember, again, these homes weren't that big. So he's coming back with these 12 there to be with him now. And these people are coming, and all of a sudden they're surrounding this house. Remember how they ripped the roof off the last time to let the man in. So the same thing's happening. These poor, desperate people want to be healed. They wanted the demons cast out of them. I wonder, as Jesus did, how many of them really were coming for the truth, were coming to really hear the gospel. You know, what were they really after? We find out in the long run, don't we? And so, and when his own kin, is what it means, his own brethren, heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying he has lost his senses. Now, you know, later on it says Mary and the brothers. Mary may have been a part of this. People, oh, not Mary. Well, again, they had not seen any of this happen. And can you imagine, this might be their home too. It says his home. So anyway, can you imagine they're in there eating and all of a sudden, you know, people coming and all of a sudden demons are screaming all over the place and they may have thought this is a loony bin. You know, this is a madhouse. What's going on here? And of course we're going to see the Pharisees and their response is going to be that. But see, it was disturbing them. They've never seen anything like this. And they don't fully understand what's going on. Remember, his own brothers really didn't believe in him and who he was. They were looking to look good and hope they'd get the benefits if he was a prophet or a Messiah. But later on we find out their heart wasn't in it. You know, and again, maybe they're starting to think, oh, you know, he's got all of these people, but now he's making us look bad. Everywhere he goes, all these people start acting crazy and screaming and carrying on. So we don't know what they're thinking. But evidently they thought something's not normal here. And they've come to get him. Isn't that what happens when people get saved sometimes? And they get filled with the Spirit? Their relatives think they're crazy because they're not acting like they are. They're not normal anymore. They're religious fanatic. All they want to talk about is Jesus and spiritual things. They don't have an interest in the things they used to do. They don't want to go get drunk and drug and dance and whoremong around. You know? Boy, they're boring. You know? Maybe we need to send them to a psychiatrist and see what happened. What happened to them? You know? Something's happened to them. And maybe that's what they were thinking. Why? Because the whole time they lived with him all their life, he never did this. Maybe they thought he was schizophrenic. Today they would say he was schizophrenic. He was another personality. Well, he never did anything like that when we lived with him. You know, what's happened? They weren't probably there when he was baptized and the Spirit came on him. They weren't following Jesus around wherever he went, as disciples were. We don't know what Mary was thinking. You know. And maybe the other sons put her up to it. Said, come on, let's go get him. Something's wrong with him. Maybe you can talk to him, Mother, and tell him he's become a religious fanatic. Or if he keeps this up, the Pharisees and the priests will have him put to death. See, we don't know what their motive. It may have been good from the natural. They may have wanted to protect him, already knowing that talk was going and the Pharisees were against him. And we're going to see in the next verses, this is what is going to happen. But we're going to stop with, he has lost his senses. And that was from his relative. Father, we thank you, Lord. They said the same thing, Lord, about Paul. Much learning hath made thee mad. No, it was he had revelation, Lord, that these people could never understand. They had a form of godliness, and they were natural people who could not understand spiritual things, nor could they ever, until their eyes were opened, until they were illuminated by the Holy Spirit and given spiritual revelation. They could not see spiritual things. And Lord, help us to be more spiritual, where people will at times say, hey, have they lost their mind? Are they so spiritual that they're no earthly good? All of these foolish statements, Lord, that, Lord, we will have to bear if we bear your name, the same thing that he did. So, Lord, if we have to lose our senses, let it be our natural senses and our carnal senses and our worldly senses, that we can have spiritual senses, that we can know by your anointing, we can know all things, that we'll need no man to teach us, that we will understand the Spirit's guidance and be able to have it confirmed through your word and your body when necessary. In Jesus' name, amen.